faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. So it is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and be silent since he has laid it on him. Sit there, be silent, since God has brought about this trouble, and wait quietly, silently, for the faithfulness of God, the compassion of God, and the loving kindness of God to flood you. God said, my grace is sufficient. Deuteronomy 33:26 says, there's none like the God of Jeshurun or the God of Israel who rides the heavens to your help. What a vivid picture. Or Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Enter your trouble, embrace your pain. In it, God is humbling you. In it, God is drawing you into His intimate presence, and in it, He is displaying His sufficient grace. He does not promise a trouble-free life, but He promises lavish grace in the midst of it. There's one other lesson. God uses suffering to perfect His power. God uses suffering to perfect His power. We would all like to be powerful for the Lord. We would all like to think that our lives really mattered, that our lives were a savor of life to life or death to death, that we were living lives of powerful influence. I guess it's a nagging, painful realization for most people in the world that their lives don't matter at all. It's wonderful for Christians to think of lives that really matter eternally. And that means that our lives need to be powerful for God. Go back to verse 9. Not only is my grace sufficient for you, but my power is perfected in weakness. My power just begins to operate in its fullness when you have none left. The suffering that humbles you, the suffering that draws you into my presence, the suffering that dispenses my grace is also the suffering that makes